First John chapter 2. And we've been on fruit bearing. The fruit of the Spirit is love. First one on the list. And we've been stuck there on things to love. Love the church. Love the Word of God. Love your brethren. Love one another. And as we read down in the love that God's trying to perfect in our lives, what God is trying to work in us, and what He's developing in our lives, and this word abideth that we looked at, I'm going to just a real quick review here before we move on. The word abideth here in verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Means to stay in a given place, in a state, relation, or expect to abide, to continue. In other words, if you look at this word and read it now, and say, he that saith he stays in him, in other words, you don't go nowhere else. It's where you stay. Your mind and your heart is stayed in Christ. You don't wander. And sure, there might be a temptation, but you stay planted. You don't move. So, he that saith he abideth, he stays in him, ought himself also to walk. So, there's our responsibility. And then as we, and there's a few spots here I want to, in 2:14, it says, I have written unto you faithfully because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because he are strong and the word of God abideth in you. So we know the word, notice the word abideth, same Greek word. It stays in us. Don't you love it? Anywhere you go, wherever what you're doing, and wherever you're at or whoever you're around, if you're a child of God, that word of God is right there to remind you. Even when something's going on that shouldn't be going on, and you know you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you're in the wrong conversation, or someone's talking about something that don't glorify God, and you're right there, and you're tempted to get into the conversation, or to pull out, or just keep your mouth shut and stay out of it, because you have that word abiding, staying inside you. And then we've seen here in verse 15. Where it said, love not. So we've seen things that we should love and how God's love is perfected in our lives. Then we see, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we get an understanding of this, but I like pulling these things apart and looking a little deeper. Look at verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, and there's this word again, abideth forever. In other words, we're going to stay forever. Whoever doeth the will of God abides forever. Are you going to live forever? This is why I don't understand. Someone says they're saved and they're living in the world and doing worldly things, and I'm going, and you're going to live with God forever in a place that's holy and pure where there is no sin. So why would you want to be in a place where there is sin? You know what? Can you understand what I'm saying? Because that's like taking a dog and putting a brick to his foot and throwing him in the bottom of a pond and put him in a place where he don't belong. He ain't going to last very long. He's going to die, ain't he? That's hick terms for like, you're going to drown. That's what happens when you get in the world system. So we need to stay rooted and grounded in the things of God. Let's look at this world love, a world, I mean, what it means. It's the cosmos here in verse 15. Love not the world. So I looked at that means orderly arrangement, including its inhabitants, literally or figuratively, morally. So the morals of the world, and this is what I loved about even before this election come to play when I was at Bungie, the world and the sinners knowed that there was a moral problem with our country. They understood that. And I'm going, man, there's some Christians ain't got that one down yet. You know what I'm saying? We got people, the things we ought to know that the world's looking back and going, we got a moral problem. Man, no one cares for their fellow man no more. we're to where we wrong and we don't know what's wrong no more. We call what's wrong, we're trying to make it right and make it fit. We're putting square pegs in round holes and we're wondering why we're in the mess we're in. And we've done this. I mean, when you get two men that decide they want to make a family and go adopt children, or two women, how do you call that right? It's not right. So it says, love not the world. Just look at them definitions again. The orderly arrangements, including its inhabitants, literally or figuratively, morally. Love not the world. The world's way of doing things. So love not that. Neither the things that are in that world. And the things, I looked that up. It means to all, listen, to in all their affections. The definite girl, this, that, one, he or she. It sounds like Christmas time, don't it? I want this, that. Did you catch that? This, that, it, he, she. It's that affection of our flesh that just, I want, and I want more. There's a scripture in a proverb, and I believe I said this last week, where it says, hell and destruction is never full. Neither the hearts of men shall never be satisfied. There's part of your flesh that will never, ever be satisfied. If you're feeding it the flesh. Now there is a place where you can be satisfied. What's that? Somebody tell me. Who can make you satisfied? The Lord. He abides in him shall be satisfied. There's the Spirit of God will make you satisfied. And we need the Spirit of God reigning and ruling in our hearts and our lives. So love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love him, I know I looked this word love up. Now there's it means to love in a social or moral sense. So love not the world, or in other words, literally or figuratively, the moral things or immoral things of the world, and the affections that are in the world, all the things that your flesh would love to go dive into and do. Then it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now this lust, a longing especially for what is forbidden. That's what it means. To long for things that are forbidden. So we know things that are forbidden. So in our minds, in our hearts, of longing for things that God does not want you to have. Give me some example of things that you should not, God does not want you to have. Well, it started out there, didn't it? Where Satan tempted Eve, and she seen something with the fruit. And she seen it, but even though it had a curse on it, God said, if we shall surely eat of this fruit, we shall surely die. She seen it. Wow, if I can be like God is. Same thing that got Satan kicked out of heaven in the first place. So, desiring something you shouldn't have. And every, yes. Yes, there's where the devil fights us day in and day out. He don't want us to bear fruit, because if we bear fruit for the Lord, we're being a light and people see that and they know who we are. And the world's expecting a certain atmosphere that you put off and in certain things of your life that they're expecting from you. They know you go to church. They know you're a Christian and they're expecting you to act a certain way. They're expecting you to desire certain things. And they're also, they're wanting you to fall so they can find fault in you. It wasn't that, even though it was 27 years ago, I remember how I looked at every, if you went to church, I was probably harder than anybody. I mean, Jim and Tammy Baker just got caught in their swindle, and then Jimmy Swaggart just got caught, and I said, yep, there's them Christians, and that's how I thought. Because when I was in Sunday school, there was things I seen and heard that people are supposed to be leaders of the church, and they was doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And I was a child and knew that, because your child knows wrong or right. So children are expecting a certain attribute from your life, how you act, how you talk, how you treat others. They're expecting you to live and talk a certain way. And when you don't, you are a failure. Let alone the world looking at us. We got little ones looking at us, expecting us to live and walk and talk a certain way. They're wanting to see us from our life. And these things ought to be coming forth in our life. And Satan, there that is, Miss Sharon, Satan does not want those things to be made forth from our life. Because it's something they can take their bony finger and point at you and say, that ain't real anyways. You're not real. That's what they're wanting. That's what the devil wants. To where you're not effective. That's why God's will says you're ordained to bear fruit and that your fruit may remain. He wants us to bear fruit. That's God's will for our lives. And so it's Satan's will that you don't bear fruit in your lives. So anything he can do to make sure you don't bear fruit, if I can get Brother Allen in the flesh, I got him. If I can get him just to... Everybody's going, I'm Brother Allen, you help me. My old brother hard to get. Now this is about hard to get him in the flesh. Miss Lily could probably tell us all kinds of stories about him, couldn't he? I'll be quiet there. I don't go no further here. A book this big, and he admits, confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed. And every one of us, But that's what Satan was trying to do, to get you where you're not bearing fruit. And it goes right back to our first lesson on, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because that's what God wants, your light to shine. That's your fruit, is Him shining through you. To our children, to our brothers, to our sisters, to our neighbors, to our friends, people at Walmart, to our employers. They need to see Christ. And the devil does not want that. So he's doing everything in our minds to make sure you're not doing it. So he uses these things. For all this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those things, what he gets in our minds to distract us. Now, in any warfare that has ever happened, when the Japanese come to Pearl Harbor, they caught us off guard. They caught us. We wasn't prepared for that. That was a strategy on their part. They was willing to give their lives for the cause to hurt America. So they hit in a place where it would hurt. In a place where we'd possibly never think they'd get to. They didn't have enough fuel to get to. So they just had enough fuel to get there. And to die doing it. The devil will do anything in his power to get you off guard, to get you distracted. Where you think it don't matter. Where I got control of this. Well, first, if you're in doubt, cast it out. You got something in your life that keeps pulling you away from the, as Miss Sharon said, pull you away from the God's Word. What's taking time? Is the TV taking more time, or movies taking more time than God's Word? Which comes first in your life? And you rise every day. God's He's renewed every day. I die daily. And we know this. But what's the first thing we do in the morning? I usually go to the coffee pot first. Lord, forgive me. Then I get in God's Word. And it helps me. You know, they're kind of like one and the other. You know, the Word of God and my coffee. Wake my brain up and then wake the Spirit up at the same time. So But Satan, he does. I found on my stupid phone, when I try to read my phone, there's these little ads that pop up at the bottom all the time. I wish I could delete them altogether, the stupid things I keep blurting up, and it's things that I don't even know where they're coming from. You know what I'm talking about. And I'll say, delete. And then it says, why do you want to delete? Improper or whatever. It says, improper and inappropriate. I don't want it. And you know what? You'll be back tomorrow. Probably the same. And I'm going, but that's the devil. To distract me. I mean, he used anything he can do to distract. And while I'm distracted, I could be bearing fruit for God. I could be taking that time and praying for... Our prayer list grows and grows. We have loved ones. Do we really want to see God? Do we really want to see God meet those needs? Do we really want to see God heal? Do we really want to see God have revival in this country? Do we really want to see our country going forth with morality back again, where God is chief again? Do we really want that? Boy, the thing first thing we pop our eyes and say, oh God, we need you today. We're in a battle, folks. We're fighting. We're in a fight, and Satan wants to do anything in his power to distract us. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And there's a word here I looked up. This pride of self-confidence, boasting, and prideful. The pride of life, a present state of existence. Sharon said something yesterday, and we was looking at Brother Isaac, how he's suffering, you know, and I'm thinking, and she said, boy, this life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time, then it vanishes away. Now, if you compare this to eternity, it ain't even a drop of in a bucket. It is nothing. And this life here is all we got. If we're going to do anything for God, if we're going to reach our loved ones, if you're going to reach your coworkers, you're going to reach your kids, you're going to reach your parents, you're going to reach your aunts and uncles, if you're going to reach, our minds need to be occupied with the things of God. Not occupied with the things of the flesh that keeps us away from God. And that's Satan's ploy to get in and to work on your emotions and our emotions and all the fruits of the flesh. Those things to get us angry, to get us bent, to get us upset, get us discontent, to get us coveting, to all the things that Satan pulls in our hearts to get us away from things that we have. And God's wanting us to bear fruit because there's a kingdom He's wanting to build here on earth. And you're the only ones He can. He's got to do it. We're His hands, we're His feet. He don't need us, but evidently that's what He's designed to use us. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the world. We'll read on a little bit more. Look at verse 17. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. So all that you can possibly desire is going to be gone anyways, right? But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are though there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. But if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, made known that they were not of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that what? Denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide, there's that word abide again, in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he had promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him, there's this word again, abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye may have confidence, and not being ashamed, because him before him at his coming. Now look at verse 27 again. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Are you saved? You're born again. You have this anointing inside you. If you're saved, you have access to the power of God. You have someone inside you. Everything I've read to you is revealing to you that it's true, that it's the Word of God, and God cannot lie. And God's desires is to bear fruit and to shine for His glory. And we have an adversary fighting against us, and it's the world in your own flesh that you look at every day. And look in the mirror, and it's going to fight you tooth and nail. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth, it stays in you. And ye need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. I love these words, abide, staying in him. Him staying in me. And I'm going to abide in eternity forever. Why not get used to it right now and just make our mind up that, boy, by the grace of God, I'm going to serve Him with all my heart. I'm going to let my kids see Jesus in me. I'm going to let my neighbors see Jesus in me. I'm going to let my people at Walmart see Jesus in me. I'm going to shine for Him everywhere. I'm at work. I'm going to let Jesus, people see Jesus in me. At school, I'm going to let Jesus be seen in me. Not let them see the world or the flesh or the things of the world. I'm going to be different. I'm going to serve God everywhere I'm at. Make our mind up. Not just here in church Sunday morning. There's where the proof's in the pudding, and you walk out the door. You go home. That's where the battle's on. That's where your mind is. Are you going to be, what is it? Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not him. Do you love the world system, the world's ways? Do you want to fit in or you want to fit out? That's it. Do you want to fit in or you want to shine out? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to shine and be different. Amen. God help us. Let's pray. Father, dear God, we love you. Thank you for your word. Father, truly take thy word in our hearts, dear God, that we be your children that want to shine forth for you. And Lord, the devil is so clever, but we're not stupid or ignorant of his devices, dear God. We see him, how he plagues our minds to covet and to pull us away from the things of God. To pull us things that take time in your word, to things that take time when we should be praying, and all the things that it pulls us away from, things that we could be doing for you, Lord, that he robs us of. But we let him, dear God, let us determine in our hearts that we not let him. Lord, there's folks that need this church, that need to come here, and they're looking for people who are real. Not just on Sunday. They're looking for people who really serve God. Because in the world, people don't think there's real Christians no more. They've really given up. And Lord, and we know they're out there. We meet them here and there and everywhere, dear God. But the world looks at them, that's the devil's truth. There's no Christians anyways. There's no one really wanting to serve God. Because Lord, it wasn't that long ago I used to be one. And Lord, I thank God that so much that we found some. Lord, that really want to serve you all the time. No matter what happens, they just want to serve you. Help us, dear God, to shine for your glory. Bless the preaching to come, dear God. Bless your preacher, dear God. Do you feel him? Lord, that we hear from heaven. Move us, mold us, break us, do whatever you need to do in our hearts and help us to see the way you see us, dear God, that we may glorify you in our lives. Help us, dear God. Someone here lost, dear God, save them today. Let today be the day of salvation, for it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.